That's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. I got a praise report also. My friend Stephen that I had everybody praying about that was in the four-wheeler accident. I told y'all he had woke up and he was talking and everything. And earlier this week, he got to come home. And yeah, I know it was amazing. He hadn't even been out of a coma that long. And they thought originally they was like, he's going to need several weeks of rehab. And then after rehab, his grandmother's a registered nurse. So they said he'll need to live with her for a few weeks and have 24/7 care. And then all within like the span of 3 days, it's like, boom, he just miraculously was healed from everything. And amen. Yeah. Absolutely, I went and seen him yesterday, and I asked him if he would come next Sunday. And so right now, the only lingering side effects really that he has, he's a little off balance, and he's amen. It's like, look who's talking, right? But but no, he's a little off balance, and he can't hear. Before he got in this accident, he was in an accident when he was 15 years old, and he fell off a really high wall, and he lost a hearing in his right ear. And when he got in this accident, now he can't hear out of his left ear. So he's basically completely deaf, and so he is asking for continued prayers for that. But he did say, he said, I really want to be able to hear when I go to church. He said, I don't have any problem going. I just want to be able to hear. I said, well, praise God. I said, well, listen, even if you can't hear, I said, I want you to come. You know, he said, they can pray for me, right? I said, yes, we can pray for you, lay hands on you. He said, yeah, that's in the Bible, you know. Like, we're going to put some oil on you and, you know, ask for God's will. But he's going to the a hearing doctor on Tuesday, so they may can do some hearing aids or something and just use the medicinal way until, you know, God finishes his work. So, and I just believe in a continual healing. It's not always instantaneous, you know. Even speaking about the deaf man, there was a deaf man in the Bible. He was deaf and dumb. He couldn't talk. And Jesus, he spit on the ground, and he rubbed his fingers with some dirt, and he stuck his fingers in his ears, and then he spit and put spit on his tongue. And there was a man, different man, I believe, but Jesus had rubbed his eyes, and he said, what do you see? He said, I see men like trees walking about. And then he said, go down to the pool and wash off. And then he went and washed his eyes, and then he was able to fully see. And that, to me, just shows me that he can heal in stages like that. So I don't believe he's done yet, but most definitely a praise report. So we'll go ahead and pray and just thank God for all these praise reports. And just know that when we're praying for your loved ones, that God does hear. I have no doubt that he hears. It's a miracle. I got to witness a miracle in my friend Stephen, because it did not look like he was going to make it in the natural. But God put it on my heart that he was going to make it, and it was going to get worse before it got better, so that God's glory would shine even brighter, because he had to bring him so far from being so close to death that God would get even greater glory. So God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to his glory which is in Christ Jesus. So, Father, just knowing that, we come to you boldly before the throne of grace, God, and we ask for Sylvia's sister, God, that you would just heal her in a quick way, God, that she would not have to deal with this pain as long as the doctors would think that she would, and, Lord, that you would provide a place for her to live. It would be even better than the place that she was living at. Maybe she would have community and fellowship in this place, be surrounded by good, godly people that would love her and cherish her and take care of her. Lord, we just ask that in Jesus' name, and we ask for the Evelyn family, God, to be in this time of grief, Lord, that you just be there with them in their suffering, Lord, and that you bring peace and that you bring joy into their hearts and their minds, reassuring them that she is a child of God and that she's going to a much better place than the one where we reside at now. And God, we just ask for the Bible study as we come together in fellowship and worship in your name, that you would be present with us, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would pour your Spirit out upon us, promise for such a time as this, that we would receive grace and mercy in our time of need, and that we would hear directly from you, knowing that you are closer than a brother and closer than a friend. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been, and sorry for, I was going to start out by saying sorry to all my people who's been coming to the Wednesday night services, because I'm just going to kind of recap what we've been going over in that. But we've been talking about the wisdom of God, and we're going to go to Ephesians 3. The key verse, which everything else is going to branch out of, is Ephesians 3:10. We're going to start up a little bit higher than that, just so we can kind of get an idea of what Paul was talking about here in Ephesians. But just keep that in mind, that Ephesians 3:10 is the key verse. And if you want to go back and look at this later and study it in your own time, I think it's a really intriguing verse, and God has shown me a lot just come from this one verse. It's amazing. We're going to start in verse 6 and read to verse 10. And I'm reading out of the NLT today. This is a Bible I've had for about a year now, and I've really been enjoying reading it. And it's got bigger words in it, so I might not have to wear my glasses, which is cool. So, it says, "And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving Him by spreading this good news. Though I am least deserving of all God's people, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ Jesus. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the Creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was His eternal plan, which He carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord." What stuck out to me the most originally was the manifold. In the NASB, it says the manifold wisdom of God. God's wisdom is many-sided. It has many facets and aspects to it. It's not just one straight line of wisdom. It's displayed in many different ways. And so we talked a lot about that in Wednesday, but and it also says to the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So there's a couple of things that I think about when you see this heavenly realms and authorities in heavenly places. My mind first wants to go to Ephesians 6:12, where it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and darknesses of dominions in the heavenly realms." It's talking about demonic forces. And so we talked about that a little bit. There's three heavens, just real quick. I'll kind of recap this. Three heavens that we know of that the Bible talks about. One is the sky. And in Genesis, it says God created the heavens and the earth, and He placed stars in the sky for light. That was the first heavens. And then there is a third heaven, which Paul referred to when he said, "I know a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but I know such a man that was called up to the third heaven." Of course, he's referring to himself, and he was having a vision of being in heaven with God. So that's the third heaven. And then there is a second heaven, which is between our outer space, I believe, and the third heaven, which is God's throne. And in between it is the demonic realm. And it says in Daniel 10, when Daniel was praying, he was seeking for a revelation from God. And he wanted this revelation so that he knew how to better serve his people. And eventually an angel comes to him and he says, "Since the moment you humbled yourself and began to pray, God has dispatched me to bring you this message." The first thing that he had to do, though, was to humble himself, which is amazing to me because that's going to be a key theme that resides with God's wisdom, which is what we're talking about. So humility and wisdom go hand in hand when it comes to God's wisdom. There's a different kind of wisdom that's not of God, and it's not humble. But again, I'm talking about that second heaven, just trying to point that out real quick. This angel came down and said that he come from heaven and he had to fight different rulers and authorities and principalities. Said he was fighting with the prince of Persia for 21 days until he was able to make it. And then the archangel Michael came and helped him to get through. And I held on to that passage of scripture, by the way, when my friend Stephen was in the hospital. And I said, 21 days. If we could get to 21 days. And that's about what it, believe it or not, it was about 23 days when he come out of the coma and came back and then spent 4 weeks total in the hospital. And so I was just holding on to that. I knew that God was sending, that help was on the way. Sometimes we just don't see it right away. But so that angel came from the third heaven. He had to go through the second heaven to get to our realm. So there's different realms. So anyways, my point in that was is that it says that God's purpose in all this was to use the church, which is us, the body of Christ. We're believers. If we believe in Jesus Christ and we've been born again, we are the church of Christ. It's not this building. It's not any building down the block. It is us as a body of believers. And it says that he has chosen us to display to the rulers and authorities the manifold wisdom of God. And so I want to think, like I said, my mind goes to Ephesians 6:12 when you start talking about the heavenly realms. But also it says that in Ephesians 1, let me look over here at this real quick. These pages are stuck together real well because I hadn't broke them in that great. So. It does say it in Ephesians 1 somewhere, but it also says it in Ephesians 2:6. It says, "For he raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." So the heavenly realms is not always referring to the demonic. It can also be referring to the place where Christ is seated. And it says that's the place that we are already seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. That, of course, is in our spirit, man, because we're still fleshly, we're still here. So God has chosen, and this is what blows my mind. It says he chooses the base things of this world to confound the wise, right? And it says that he has chosen the church. We who are a little lower than the angels to display to the rulers and authorities God's manifold wisdom. So it's not just to the demonic realm, it's also to the heavenly realm. Think about it. In heaven right now, there are angels who stand before the throne of God and they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He's the sovereign one. He's the one who is worthy of all of our praise." The elders, 24 elders, they cast their crowns before him because he dwells in inapproachable light. They can't even get close to him because his light is so holy, they got to throw their crowns to him. And God says it's to this realm that he chose his church to display the manifold wisdom of God. In 1 Peter, it talks about this salvation is the salvation which angels long to look into. They want to see this thing that God has designed to take a people who were rebellious against him. They started off in the garden. They had everything that they could ever need. It was perfect. God provided everything, and he just gave them one rule, not to touch this tree of knowledge of good and evil, and yet they failed at that, and the angels are just imagining, look how weak and frail they are, and yet you've made a plan to where you use them to glorify yourself to all of creation? Listen, that's why it says over in Romans, it says that all of creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to be revealed. Because once we reveal God's character to the world, that's God's wisdom on display. And when his wisdom is on display, then he gets glory from that. I want to look at James chapter 3. We're going to read verses 13 through 17. There is a wisdom that is from this earth. God didn't choose philosophers and great theologians to go and display his character to the world. Because if he used them, then it would make it seem like to us who just maybe have an average IQ or some of, maybe me less than an average IQ, then it would make us feel like we weren't qualified to serve God in any way whatsoever. But it's amazing to me that of Paul and Peter, Peter and John, they said that we discern that these men are uneducated. And Peter, God used Peter to preach and have 3,000 people saved in one day. That's one of God's many varieties of his wisdom, that he can take the base things of this world to confound the wise. And those who are humble and contrite in heart, he will not despise. Verse 13 says, if you are wise in understanding God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. I want to pause right there for just a second. Anytime you hear about good works, you may automatically think about a works-based salvation. James is not teaching about a works-based salvation. He started off in this chapter, and he was talking about faith apart from works is dead. What he was saying is that if you have true saving faith, you will have works that accompany that. Not that you have works, and because you have works, you become saved. There's a big difference. That's called legalism, and we are not under the law. We are under grace. And in the same way here, he's not saying that if you are wise, then you will be saved. No, he's saying that if you have faith, the wisdom should show forth in the way that you live. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. It's hard as a person, to be honest with you, not to show favoritism to people, but God says, don't do it. He's no respecter of person, Mike Duncan. Helping him out there. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. This is the wisdom of God. It's full of mercy and good deeds. I've been around people who are very intelligent, and I've listened to some preachers and teachers who are very intelligent, but that is not God's wisdom. The Bible says that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. I know some preachers who know the scripture really well, but they will cut you so quick that your head will spin. They will cut you down. And that is not the way of God. That's not wisdom from God. It says it's, first of all, it's pure, it's holy, it's righteous. And accompanied with this wisdom is always humility. It's humbleness. That's why Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. I am gentle at heart." Think about it for a second. Jesus Christ, he died as the suffering sheep. He's coming back as a conquering king. On his inner thighs written the word of God. He's got a sword in his mouth and it devours all of his enemies. He's coming back on a horse and he's going to conquer all of his enemies. Listen, all the angels sitting in his presence saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He reigns above all creation. There is none like him and none greater than him. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is none like him. He is Jesus Christ, God Almighty." But he says, "Learn of me, for I'm meek and I'm lowly." Humility and humbleness does not mean that you don't have any power. It doesn't mean that you're weak. In fact, meekness is power that's under control. We can use that power, and instead of using that power to hurt people and to cut people down, we can use that same power to pick people up and to lift people up. We're stronger when we come together. We're always stronger when we come together. That's why the enemy spends so much time trying to cause division. It's one of his greatest tactics. He wants to use any little thing he can to divide the church up. Paul spoke against this. He said, "Let there be no division among you." No division. Yeah, we may disagree on minor things. Put the minor things aside. Let's talk about the things that we agree on and we can build on, because there are places where we can come together. Some people think if you're a Democrat that you're not following Jesus. Some people think if you're a Republican you're not following Jesus. Listen, put the politics aside. That's not a measure. That is not a measure of your salvation. So put it aside. There's things that we can agree on. Listen, that's why a house divided will not stand. That's what the enemy wants for this country right now. That's why there's so many people fighting from the outside and the inside to divide us, to keep us divided against each other. That's so that we'll be weak and they can try to come in and attack us. That's what they want. They want to weaken us. But what we need to do is we need to come together, not just in a political field, but in every arena that we can, we should come together. There's common grounds. We're all human beings. We all have hurts. We all have joys. We all have pains. We all have things that we can agree on and ways that we can help each other. But it comes from humility. We'll never, if we're full of pride and we're puffed up and swelled up with knowledge and we have this pride, we'll never be able to come to agreement with people, and we'll never truly be using God's wisdom, because we say, "Well, they believe in this or they believe in that, so therefore they're not worthy of me to spend any time with them trying to build a relationship or trying to advance God's kingdom with them." But it's not so. You let God handle all that. It's before God that each person stands or falls, and he's going to be the judge of all. So you let God work that part out. Yeah. Amen. Instead of worrying about following the donkey or the elephant, let's follow the lamb. Amen.
Pick a lot of topics, but take abortion. You can't politically support people that are pushing that. You have to stand and fight against that.
I agree that abortion is wrong, and so I stand against abortion. And I know this is a tough one. Look, Pastor Terry and Terry probably back there laughing at me right now because they're like, what has he stepped into? You're not ever supposed to bring up politics and religion. Amen. Yeah, that's and you have to go with your conscience. God has given us all a conscience, and he speaks to us through our conscience. And so you have to go with that. Anything that's not of faith is sin, is what it says in the book of Romans. So you must follow what you believe is right. So whatever that looks like, that's what it is. Yes. It's all right. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
If you don't, right now, the world is just raging loudly. They have confidence in their sin. But we sit quiet because we don't want to be. We have to speak the truth.
Amen. Amen.
I'm so tired of hearing that. If you'd say abortion, if you'd say homosexuality, oh, no, that's a politics. No, that's the word of God.
I agree. I don't have any disagreement with that whatsoever. I just listen. This is my point, though, is that we can put aside our differences and come together. We'll never be able to minister to somebody if we're bashing them constantly. If we're beating people down, we'll never be able to minister to them. They're not going to be receptive to the things that we say. I'm not saying that we sugarcoat anything or water anything down. We must stand on the truth and be bold about the truth. But there are so many people who take that, tell the truth and tell the truth in love and being bold, and they use it, quite honestly, to be a jerk to people. And that's never going to win anybody. David? Yeah. Go ahead. Yep, want to keep us separated. That's right. Yeah, but so the point was, let's not let little things divide us. And yes, I agree that abortion and homosexuality and things like that is not little things. What they did in Paris was not a little thing. Mocking Jesus Christ openly is not a little thing to me. And we should be. We should take a stand against things like that. So I definitely don't believe that we should just be a doormat for people and just lay down and, you know, take whatever they throw at us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Without them speaking truth and telling us what was wrong, we wouldn't be.
Amen.
So I'm just, we can do it in love.
I think
a person with the heart of Christ, it's going to be love.
Mm-hmm.
Because you love them a lot.
Amen. Let me bring up this point real quick. Also in Ephesians, it says that we are children of light. And how do you overcome darkness?
With light.
With light. You don't have to go, and I've used this analogy before. There's people who will go to a country concert, and they'll stand outside, and they'll tell everybody that's coming in and out of there that they're going to hell. And they'll have these signs, you're going to hell for listening to secular music and all this stuff. And that's not the way of God. That wisdom is not peaceable. It's not honorable. It's not humble. But instead of standing around cursing the darkness, we could be a people who proclaim the light of Jesus Christ. That is how we will overcome the darkness. It's only going to be through the light. And again, like I said, Jesus was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords. If he wanted to, he could wipe us all out. And that's probably what, in my mind, he should have done, because we all fall short of the glory of God. But yet, he was humble, and the very same people who he created are the ones that put him on the cross and crucified him. He created the people. Nothing was created without him that was made. So that means the tree that they took and cut down to build the cross out of, the nails that they used, the rocks they got the metal from, the iron to put into his hands, all of that, he created it, and they used it to crucify him on the cross. But yet, what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Lost people do not understand the ways of God. It says a natural man cannot receive the things of God. They are spiritually discerned, and so it must have the Spirit of God to discern the things of God. So we can't go around we can't be in anger against everybody because they're lost and they're not following God. They don't have the Spirit of God, and they don't understand that what they're doing is wrong. They think that they're doing right because they're giving women their rights, right? That in the earthly sense, that's what's right. That's the demonic realm. That's the natural wisdom of man. But we must have the wisdom of God to try to shine light on these people to bring them in to the kingdom of God. And listen, we got to pray for those people. Even people, they get upset about who the president is, you know. And we've talked about this before, that you must pray for those who are in leadership. You got to do it. Pray for them. What if that person gets saved? I heard, who was it? Robertson. He wants to be the governor, Mark Robinson. He said, you know what I want to see? And I know I got 2 minutes here, but I thought this was pretty good. He is a hardcore conservative Christian Republican, and I love to hear him speak. I do. I love to hear Mark Robinson speak because he ain't ashamed. The first thing he says, we're going to give glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how he opens up. He said, I don't care about all you reporters in here. You go on and tell your lies. He said, but we're going to lift up the name of Jesus in here. But he said, you know, he gets done. He's talking about everything. At the end, he says, you know what I want to see one day? He said, I got two dreams in this life. He said, one of them is that when I get to heaven, I see Nancy Pelosi walking up in there. I'll see Joe Biden coming up to my mansion that God created for me in heaven. Joe Biden going to be up there. His dream was to see all his political opponents to be in heaven with him. He said, now, well, as long as we're down here, he said, I hope they lose and I win. He said, but when we get there, I hope to see them there with me. We should have that same attitude. We should have that same attitude. And we should also remember that lost people do lost things. You're not going to go beat somebody up with the Bible and expect them to come follow Jesus because you quoted some scripture to them. That's the wisdom of man. But the wisdom of God learns how to speak to people and tell the truth in love. A lot of people say that they're telling the truth in love, but they ain't got no love behind that truth. They just got hardness and criticalness. And all they're going to do is scare people away and turn people away. We got to learn to walk in love. Jesus said that this is the greatest commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And how did he love us? He laid down his life for us. He served and washed feet. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he humbled himself and became a lowly servant. We got to keep that same attitude in ourselves that was which in Christ Jesus. That same attitude needs to be in us. So, anyways, I hope you got something out of this. Wish I had more time. But Wednesday night, if anybody wants to talk more about the wisdom of God, there is a little bit more that I want to touch on. So hopefully y'all could come. We're having just a little class back there in the back. We'll just pray real quick for the service ahead, and thank y'all for listening. Father God, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're just thankful and grateful, God, for the opportunity to be able to lift up your name and to give glory to your name. And Father, we pray that you help us to manifest your wisdom to this world and to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. All creation is longing to see that wisdom manifested, God, and we pray that we be willing vessels, as Isaiah 1:19 says, so that we shall eat of the good of the land, living in the land of your goodness, God, and displaying your glory. We pray, God, for the for Pastor Terry, whoever's speaking today, Lord, that you would speak truth and love through them, and that we'll be edified and admonished. And we also pray, God, for the worship service, that your spirit just be with us in a manifest way, and that we can worship you and serve you even greater. And let us go out of here better than we came in. In Jesus' name, amen.